Just an aside before I begin today. Over the last month, I've preached a couple of difficult sermons. One on the doctrine of atonement. I hope I didn't lose you on that one. Remember, I only did two. There's 16. I only did two. So I was merciful that day. And another on the nature of hell. I want to thank you for being a congregation that is so open and accepting to these explorations that I make. I must tell you, I was hired here 7 years ago as a part-time pastor, and then again, 3 years ago as a full-time pastor? And at each time, the board of directors and the personnel team that hired me said, one of the things that we can offer you here is not being underneath the rule of a denomination. You can explore things where you might not feel comfortable doing that in other places. And I get such wonderful feedback from all of you that I just want to thank you for allowing me to be the kind of minister who can explore difficult topics and challenge you sometime to new ways of thinking. And I don't really get a lot of pushback. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Now, don't just stand there. Do something. Right, Jeff. Jeff's a doer. He knows. Peter, good old Peter. Basically, this is his response to watching Jesus being inducted into the Faith Heroes Hall of Fame, right alongside the greatest Hebrew prophet, Elijah, and God's right-hand man to the people of Israel, Moses. Not to mention Jesus' glowing transfiguration. Overwhelmed by it all, Peter says, come on, James. Come on, John. Seize the day. Let's make some shelters. Let's make some dwellings. Let's pile up some stones for a foundation. You get the boards. I'll bring the nails. Oh, here's a hammer. I just happened to bring up the mountain with me. Everybody get your phones out. Let's snap some selfies with the three big guys to document this moment. Jesus, could you tone down that light coming out of your face? It's putting a glare on all the photographs, and it's beginning to hurt our eyes. James and John, don't just stand there, brothers. Do something. And you know, Peter's insistence on doing something is completely natural, isn't it? Perfectly normal for us to want to achieve, to accomplish, to do something in a culture like ours where what we do often establishes our worth, it establishes our value, it establishes who we are. Isn't that like the second question people ask you? Hi, my name is Paul. I'm a pastor. What do you do? But just as Peter gets everybody motivated to do something, God's voice from heaven interrupts and says, hush, Peter. You are so busy that you're missing the whole point. This is my son, the beloved. With him, I'm well pleased. Now, why don't you stop and take time to listen to him? Peter, quit your incessant talking and your doing, and for once in your life, simply pay attention. Stop all the noise and striving and just be in the moment. Peter, just be. As disciples of Christ, there are always opportunities for service. And we want to know what it is that we can do for God. We want to be Jesus to a hurting world. After all, doing is our first response to receiving the love and forgiveness of Christ. But sometimes we get so action-oriented that, like Peter, we fail to be contemplative, to be spiritual, to be grounded, to be centered in the essential reality of God's presence in our lives. Sometimes we just need to hush, coming from a man who makes his living speaking. Sometimes we just need to hush, to quit our incessant talking and working and just stand in the awe and mystery of God, just like Keona said, just stand in the awe of God so that our doing can then be meaningful and purposeful and sustainable. So in our scripture this morning, God is saying, don't just do something. Stand there. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and minds to know and lives to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, all to the glory of God our Father. Amen. As I have said to you before, I am an overachiever. Some of you may say that at times I am wrong or misguided, perhaps. Even a bit crazy when I wear sunglasses to church on Sunday. But one thing I hope that you will never say about me is that I am lazy. I stay constantly busy because I think that my doing will justify my life to God, to all of you, and to myself. But there's more. I stay busy because if I ever pause to take a breath, if I should ever get quiet and contemplate where God is moving in my life, if I should ever stop doing and consider what God might be calling me to do, then I might have to deal with that. And you know, God might be asking me to do something outside my comfort zone. I stay busy to fill time and space. I stay busy not just to serve all of you. I stay busy not just to serve God. But I stay busy to block my awareness of God's will. I do. I am not afraid that in the stillness, God won't speak to me. I'm afraid that God will. Peter has made the trek up the mountain and he desperately wants to get to carrying out his own agenda because he's surely, surely avoiding the agenda that Jesus has just brought up before they climb that mountain. Peter is just not at all sure about this take up your cross and follow me stuff. Peter wants no part of the Roman cross of torture and death, and if that's where Jesus is going, let's just see if we can change the subject. Come on, guys. Let's go build something. But the voice from heaven persists. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to Him. This is the same voice that beckons to us as we stand on the verge of our journey into the season of Lent, into suffering, into death on the cross. This is the journey for which the story of Jesus' transfiguration is supposed to prepare us. Lent, which begins this Wednesday at 5:30 with our Ash Wednesday service. I do hope all of you will be here. That is a special time of worship here at the chapel. 5:30 this Wednesday. Lent calls us to rediscover our spirituality, to remember how to just be, to quit our frantic babbling, to step away from our hectic worldly life, to just be still and pay attention for a change, to consider who we are as dust and whose we are, God's precious children, all of you, forgiven, loved, redeemed. During this season of Lent, let us pledge to ourselves and to God that we will take time to just be. For if we don't get the being part right, then our doing will only be chaotic, frustrated attempts at self-justification, or else grounded in obligation and responsibility and fear and devoid of any joy, the joy that God longs for us to have in our lives. If all you're doing seems madness and pointless, let us learn again to behold the mystery of God, and to be comfortable entering a quiet place of awe and listening for the voice of God. There will be ample opportunities for living out your call to discipleship. If you ever run out of those, please let me know and I will find one for you. There are many opportunities for us to live out our call to discipleship. More than enough opportunities to take up our cross. But in order to do that, at least for this 6 weeks of introspection and self-examination, don't just do something. Stand there. In the name of the loving, liberating, and life-giving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.